Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to our host, Gladys Dutrieuil. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this 11th meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2020. We thank you for joining us for this meeting for our 7th telephonic public meeting. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on the call. Commissioner Ralph Yanora.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Good morning.
Vice Chairman David Sweet.
Here.
Thank you. We do have a quorum for the meeting. We will not be pledging to the American flag during this telephonic meeting. We do ask that everyone please keep the citizens of our state and country in your thoughts and prayers during this ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the Commission will act on various matters. There is no opportunity for the public to address the Commission at this public meeting. We appreciate your patience as we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the pandemic. Due to the COVID-19 emergency, the PUC office buildings are closed. However, the Commission remains fully operational with personnel working remotely. I wish to remind the utilities and stakeholders to access the PUC's website's COVID-19 webpage, where we continue to update information with the list of PUC actions taken so far, as well as upcoming public meeting notices, the status of our call center hotline, and e-filing updates. This page can be accessed from our home page. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes for the meeting of June 18th, 2020, and I will call upon, I believe, Vice Chairman Sweet is the editor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've reviewed the minutes of the public meeting of June 18th, 2020, and move that they be approved as submitted. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second to the motion?
Second, Yanora.
Commissioner Yanora seconds the motion. Any further discussion on the minutes or edits? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0. At this point, I will turn it over to our Secretary, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will lead us through today's meeting.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda items for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page 1 with matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 1, beginning with the complaint against Blue Pilot Energy, and ending the omnibus on page 2 with the formal complaint of Judith Benvinger versus the PICO Energy Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
So moved.
Sweet, so moved.
I heard a motion by Commissioner Ralph Yanora. Commissioner Vice Chairman Sweet, you did speak up as well. Do you want to second that motion?
Certainly, second.
Second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 3, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus Sunoco Pipeline LP.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, Coleman.
Is there a second?
Second, Yanora.
Motion by Commissioner John Coleman, second by Commissioner Ralph Yanora. Any discussion on the motion?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a motion on this matter.
You are recognized, Commissioner Coleman.
I ask that my motion be entered into the record as though I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission for consideration and disposition are the comments filed on June 1, 2020 by Sunoco Pipeline LP in response to the Commission's second tentative opinion and order issued on May 21, 2020 at this docket. Our second tentative order approved the joint petition for approval of settlement filed on April 3, 2019 by the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement and Sunoco with certain clarifications and modifications deemed reasonable and necessary in the public interest. In its comments, Sunoco raises a number of objections to the Commission's modifications. In particular, Sunoco claims that the Commission imposes procedures for the independent expert submission of the confidential safety study and public summary, which violates the CSI Act. Sunoco asserts that the Commission's actions operate to effectively require that Sunoco waive its statutory rate under the CSI Act. Sunoco advises that it's strongly considering withdrawing from the joint settlement over this issue. In order to resolve its concerns, Sunoco proposes that the Commission modify the second tentative order to direct the independent expert submit the final form ME1 safety study in a lock portable document format or PDF directly to Sunoco in the first instance, solely for the purpose of Sunoco's review to mark CSI. Sunoco would then provide the independent expert the portions of Sunoco's designates as CSI so that the independent expert may mark the CSI provisions. The independent expert would then provide the marked and locked copy of the PDF directly to Sunoco. Sunoco asserts that this procedure is required to enable Sunoco's compliance with the CSI Act's requirements and that the utility transmit the information to the agency. Sunoco then would be responsible for providing the safety study to I&E. Sunoco further agrees to include an affidavit attesting to the fact that Sunoco did not alter the safety study. With respect to the public summary, Sunoco proposes that the Commission modify the settlement terms under the second tentative order to direct that the independent expert provide the public summary directly to Sunoco in the first instance in the locked form PDF. Sunoco will then review the summary solely for the purpose of marking CSI. If Sunoco finds no CSI or other proprietary materials, the independent expert may give the summary directly to I&E. Sunoco proposes that if Sunoco finds CSI or other proprietary materials, that it will communicate jointly with I&E and the independent expert to exercise any such information. Once any CSI proprietary information is excised from Sunoco's proposal, the independent expert would provide the public summary to I&E. While I do not adopt Sunoco's interpretation of the CSI Act, I do acknowledge that the company's concerns regarding the safeguarding of confidential security information. In the interest of preserving the benefits of the settlement and avoiding undue delay in the implementation of its provisions, I move that we exercise the discretion to adopt these requested modifications with one additional condition. I believe it's appropriate to require the independent expert to include a signed verification consistent with 52 PA Code 1.36 with both the confidential safety study and the public summary delivers to I&E conforms with the findings that not to be modified by Sunoco. Therefore, I move that the Commission's order of May 21st, 2020 is modified consistent with this motion, and the Office of Special Assistance prepare a tentative opinion order consistent with this motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. You have heard the motion of Commissioner Coleman. Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
Sweet, opposed.
Okay. The motion then passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet. And apologize. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet.
It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion the final item on page 3, the formal complaint of William Lamack versus the Pike County Light and Power Company, and continuing the omnibus on page 4 to include both items on page 4 and both items on page 5, and ending the omnibus on page 6 with the formal complaint of Joseph Epp and Cynthia Rao versus the PICO Energy Company.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Coleman.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Any opposed? Obviously not, because all four of us voted aye. The motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 6, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt the final item on page 6, the joint petition of CenturyLink, and continue the omnibus to include all three items on page 7 and both items on page 8, all three items on page 9, both items on page 10, and all three items on page 11, and ending the omnibus on page 12 with the joint petition of Verizon North and Broadwing Communications.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Eunora.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Eunora. Any discussion? I do have a statement to place on the record. I ask that I'm going to read it in its entirety, but I also ask it be placed on the record. Before the Commission today are interconnection agreements seeking Commission approval under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and our implementation order of TA 96 adopted in 1996. Our implementation order requires that an executed negotiated interconnection agreement seeking Commission approval be filed no later than 30 days following the close of the negotiations phase or the day 190-day following the request for interconnection. All but three of these ICAs were executed on December 30, 2019 or February 2, 2020. None were filed within the 30-day period required by the implementation order. All but three should have been filed no later than March 4, 2020. I note that carriers routinely file this type of interconnection agreement late, even prior to the pandemic. I repeat my previously stated concern about the importance of providers' timely compliance with our implementation order. The timely and the volume of this noncompliance concerns me because it directly impacts other competitors' ability to adopt these interconnection agreements. Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 I will also be voting aye. Obviously, there's no opposed, but I will ask any opposed. Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 13 and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 13, beginning with the application of Innova Energy and continuing to include all three items on page 14, ending the omnibus with the quarterly earnings of jurisdictional utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 15 and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the petitions for partial rescission, rehearing, and reconsideration in the emergency order establishing a moratorium on door-to-door and in-person.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Yanora, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Yanora, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes 4-0.
It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the petition for declaratory order filed by Valley Township.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, Coleman.
Is there a second?
Second, Yanora.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a statement.
Yes, Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you, and I would ask that my statement be entered into the record as though I read it in its entirety. On this matter, I would find that Valley Township is offering public utility service and require them to file for a certificate of public convenience. Rather than belaboring the legal issue, I would refer those who are interested in my analysis to the dissent in the Royersford matter, which was before us at our last public meeting. Commission decisions on this particular issue have not always been consistent, but my reading of the appellate court cases indicates extreme consistency. If the service is a defined, limited, and privileged class, and is incidental to a relationship between the provider and the customer, such as a landlord providing service to tenants, then it is not public utility service. If, however, the service is to an open class of persons who may sell or lease their property without regard to the service provider, then that service is a public utility, absent special circumstances. The nature of the service does not depend on the number of customers served, nor does it depend upon whether the provider passes an ordinance that states it has no intention of enlarging the customer base beyond its border. I recognize that this commission has not been consistent in applying the standard, and that there are commission orders which appear to be precedential to granting this particular petition. There are, however, no appellate court precedents, and I would suggest that in granting this petition, we are following the wrong precedent. We should be following the pronouncements of the appellate courts. This township is providing service beyond its borders into three different municipalities. The fact that all of the extraterritorial customers are located near the borders does not constitute special circumstances. This service is a public utility service and should be certificated as such. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any further discussion on this matter? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 I also will be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed. Sweet.
The matter passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet.
Turning to page 16, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition filed by PECO Energy regarding its customer assistance program and other proposals for low-income households.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Yanora.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion on this matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. Before the Commission for consideration and disposition is the petition of PECO Energy Company, filed pursuant to 52 PA Code 5.41, on June 26, 2020. In its petition, PICO sought expedited review of proposed temporary universal service measures to address economic hardship related to COVID-19, as well as additional opportunities for electric usage reduction. Specifically, PICO requests permission to, one, provide a $50 bill credit for all of its customer assistance cap customers. Two, implement a temporary expedited cap enrollment and recertification process that waives certain income verification and program participation requirements. And three, implement a temporary summer cooling initiative, which would utilize anticipated unused funds from PICO's 2020 Low Income Usage Reduction Program, known as LIHERP, to install energy-efficient cooling units in low-income houses. Since mid-March of this year, over 3.3 million Pennsylvanians have sought some form of unemployment assistance as a result of the current pandemic. In Philadelphia alone, a considerable portion of PICO's service territory, 20% of the city's workforce, has filed for unemployment since the crisis began. In light of this economic devastation, PICO's proposal is necessary to provide immediate protection to its most vulnerable customers during this unprecedented time. Furthermore, the proposed temporary assistance measures outlined in PICO's petition are supported by the company's most recent external evaluation of its cap. On June 28, 2019, PICO filed its Universal Service Program's six-year evaluation report, where it was found that its current cap model is unaffordable for the poorest households within its service territory. As a result, and in addition to recent commission action on energy affordability, PICO has laid out a series of, quote, next steps, close quote, and has been working with stakeholders to address these issues. In the meantime, however, the proposed $50 cap credit, which is equivalent to a month of utility costs for many of PICO's cap customers, will provide immediate relief to the 113,000 low-income customers estimated to be enrolled in the company's assistance program. The evaluation report also found that removal from PICO's cap is largely caused by the customer's failure to re-verify their household income. For example, of the nearly 19,000 customers that were removed from the company's cap in 2018, 70% of those customers were removed for not returning the required income verification documentation. In its petition, PICO proposes to waive certain cap enrollment and recertification requirements through December 1st, 2020, to facilitate the prompt receipt and continuation of cap benefits by low-income customers. Specifically, the company proposes to temporarily waive the requirement that a customer supply written income documentation and instead accept income information that can be provided verbally by a customer during the cap enrollment or recertification process. It is worth noting that the Department of Human Services, the state administrator of the LIHEAP program, is also accepting verbal assertions of income if the household is unable to provide income documentation due to the pandemic. For these reasons, I find PICO's proposal to temporarily waive its income certification processes to be justified and reasonable. Regarding the summer cooling initiative, the company estimates that it will spend $1.5 million less in electric LIHERP services in 2020 as a result of COVID-19 business restrictions. For example, social distancing and other restrictions which limit LIHERP projects. Therefore, PICO has proposed to transfer $1.5 million from its 2020 electric LIHERP budget to find a summer cooling initiative for households with incomes at or below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. This initiative would replace window air conditioning units that are at least 10 years old with more energy-efficient units and would provide fans to low-income households with cooling needs. The distribution fans would be prioritized to vulnerable households based on the age and disability status of the household members. PICO proposes to end the summer cooling initiative by December 31, 2020, and roll any unexpended funds into the 2021 electric LIHEAP budget. I commend PICO for proposing a program that makes use of unspent LIHEAP funds that specifically address cooling assistance during one of the hottest summers on record. Unlike PICO's de facto heating pilot program or other COVID-19-related relief programs that have recently come before this commission, the company's cooling initiative is temporary and has a finite budget that does not impact the availability of LIHEAP services to its income-eligible customers. For these reasons, I'm inclined to support the company's summer cooling initiative. However, given the lack of detailed information in the petition regarding the funding allocation of this proposal, for example, costs associated with administration equipment, installation, et cetera, I instruct PICO to provide the commission with detailed monthly reports as this program is implemented. This report should identify, at a minimum, the number of customers served through the Summer Cooling Initiative and costs related to the service. Given the proposed benefits, combined with the clearly demonstrated need, I believe this program is within the public interest. And I commend PICO for taking quick action to assist its CAP and LIHEAP customers during this crisis. Therefore, I move first PICO's petition for expedited approval of temporary universal service measures to address COVID-19-related economic hardship is granted. Secondly, the PICO file and serve monthly progress reports on the implementation of its temporary universal service measures to address COVID-19. In addition to detailed monthly budget reports on its summer cooling initiative to Commission's Law Bureau and Bureau of Consumer Services, as well as the parties listed at this docket. And thirdly, that the Commission's Law Bureau prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. I thank you.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second to the motion? I will second the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a couple of verbal remarks.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. I, too, want to applaud PICO's efforts in proposing relief programs for its customers in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, I agree with the staff analysis and the Vice Chairman's comments on that analysis that PICO really has not provided sufficient data supporting documentation or the justification to support these proposals, which could cost residential ratepayers an additional $9.4 million in universal service charges. Commission decisions must be supported by substantial evidence, and the standard has not been met here. The staff recommendation is consistent with this matter, has been consistent with the matter that has been before us at the last public meeting, and I believe that our decision should be the same. Accordingly, I will be voting for the staff recommendation. I think it's also important to note that the financial impacts of COVID-19 pandemic varies among customers, and it's both low-income and non-low-income customers. And many of them are facing economic challenges, as the Vice Chairman has indicated. The proposal before us today are limited to certain customers based upon income levels, but the cost would be borne by all residential customers. As articulated in the mission of this commission, the commission must carefully balance the needs of all customers and the utilities. We must also be mindful of the current moratorium on the utility service terminations, which allows what most likely result in substantial cost, which for the utilities have the right to seek cost recovery from ratepayers. As I've stated before, customers should proactively manage their utility service status. If you have concern about your ability to pay your utility bill, the first place to start is by contacting your utility. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed, Coleman.
Opposed, Eunora.
The motion fails. majority noting the dissent of Commissioner Coleman, Commissioner Unora, the matter before us is the main motion in terms of the staff recommendation. Is there any discussion on the staff recommendation before we take a vote on that? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye on the staff recommendation.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sweet, opposed.
I will also be dissenting. Therefore, the staff recommendation before us fails for a lack of majority, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet and myself. I would ask, if there's no objection to with the commissioners, that this matter be placed on the next meeting agenda for consideration. Is there any objection?
Chairman, I'm not sure that we need to have the item come back before the commission for an additional meeting. I think we have discussed the merits of the proposal this morning, and unless or until PICO provides additional documentation, I think the matter is concluded. And therefore, I don't see the need to bring the matter back before the commission at a subsequent meeting.
Okay. Is there any motion to send the matter back to Law Bureau? If not, the matter will just sit in the Secretary's Bureau. And that's fine. No further action to be taken if that's the consensus of the commissioners. So there's no further action to be taken. Madam Secretary, turn it back over to you for the rest of the agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Turning to page 17 and matters presented by Chief ALJ Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion Judge Cheskas's recommended decision in the complaint against the Winola Water Company and Judge Jones' initial decision in the formal complaint of Raven Harding versus the Philadelphia Gas Works, and continuing and ending the omnibus on page 18 with Judge Heap's recommended decision in the 1307F filing of the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, you know.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
And Madam Chairman, that concludes the regular agenda. Turning now to the carry-in agenda. And turning to page 1 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 1, beginning with the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement against Quasar Communications, and ending the omnibus with the petition for interlocutory review regarding the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 2 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the petition for reconsideration of staff action filed by Columbia Gas of Pennsylvania.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. And because of the procedural complexity of these next two, this one and the next one, I will apologize in advance. I am going to read my entire motion, although it is only, each are only about a page, but I think it's important to get these matters out to all of the commissioners. Before the commission's a petition for reconsideration from staff action filed by Columbia Gas seeking reversal of a June 30, 2020 order issued by Chief Administrative Law Judge Charles Rainey, the CALJ, granting the motion of the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement to extend the suspension of this rate case from Saturday, January 23, 2021, to Thursday, February 4, 2021. My motion denies in part and grants in part this petition. The CALJ recognized that the usual mandates of the Public Utility Code, including the time restrictions of Section 1308D governing base rate cases, are subject to suspension, waiver, or change if those restrictions may hinder rather than further the mission of the Commission. After consultation with all interested parties, as deemed necessary and appropriate, the already condensed period of time in which the parties could serve discovery and prepare witness testimony was rendered even more difficult when the governor, under his emergency authority, directed all but essential workers to stay home by executive order dated March 19, 2020. Columbia opposes the request as unlawful and unnecessary, but submits that should the commission affirm the CALJ's order, the commission should also provide that the final approved rates should be effective as of the original suspension date, which would be January 23, 2021. This portion of the petition is granted. I note, however, that the recommended decision is due in a case with a statutory deadline 60 days before the last reasonable public meeting prior to the expiration of the suspension date. As the Commission may alter the staff's recommendation at a public meeting, that means there must be sufficient time for staff to prepare and enter a revised Commission opinion and order. In this situation, the date of the suspension expiration is February 4, 2021, and that means the last reasonable public meeting in which the Commission may consider the staff recommendation is the prior public meeting, or January 21, 2021. Accordingly, the recommended decision of the providing ALJ is due to be issued on or before November 20, 2020. Therefore, I move that the petition for reconsideration of staff action filed June 23, 2020, by Columbia Gas of Pennsylvania, Inc., is denied in part and granted in part, consistent with this motion. By the way, as a footnote, I would note that my written petition is in error and says June 23, 3030. That is not the case. Number two, that the June 3, 2020, which is the correct date, order of Chief Administrative Law Judge Charles Rainey is affirmed insofar as it grants the petition for extension filed by the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement. Third, the effective date of the rates that resulted from this proceeding shall be January 23, 2021, unless another date is approved by this Commission. Fourth, the recommended decision in this matter be served and filed no later than November 20, 2020. And finally, that this the Office of Special Assistance prepare an appropriate order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second? I will second the motion. Oh, Commissioner Coleman, did I hear you second?
Yep. Second, please.
Okay. Second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. The matter as amended by the motion. Is there any objection to taking a previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 4-0.
And finally, on page 2 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt a proposed opinion and order in the tariff supplements of the Pennsylvania Water Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
So moved, Coleman.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Again, Madam Chair, I have a motion.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. And one, this is a similar situation. Once again, a bit of a procedural morass. And so, colleagues, if you'll bear with me for just a moment, I will read the motion in its entirety. Before the Commission is the petition for reconsideration of staff action filed by the Pennsylvania American Water Company, seeking reversal of the June 4, 2020 order of Chief Administrative Law Judge Charles Rainey, granting the motion of the Office of Consumer Advocate. The motion sought and the order granted an extension of the statutory deadline from January 28, 2021 to March 15, 2021. This motion denies in part and grants in part that petition. The Governor's Proclamation of Disaster Emergency provides that agencies may suspend, waive, or change a statutory or regulatory deadline, which may hinder rather than further the mission of the agency. And this authority was delegated to the Bureau of Directors and to the CALJ to be exercised after consultation with all interested parties as deemed necessary and appropriate. The Commission's emergency order contained the same wording, gives the CALJ the authority to issue an extension for a statutory deadline under appropriate circumstances. The CALJ's order recognized that when the governor directed all but essential workers in the Commonwealth to stay out of their business offices, the short period of time in which parties could serve discovery and prepare written witness testimony became insufficient for the preparation of a thorough record for eventual commission's consideration. The issuance of the order was within his authority as delegated by the Commission under the state of emergency that exists. However, the Commission recognizes that a public utility files a base rate case with a specific target date upon which the final approved rates will take effect and the utility plans accordingly. It is only fair to allow the final approved rates to take effect on that date, regardless of the difficulty that the parties have had in litigating the matter, and that portion of the petition reconsideration of staff action will be granted. I note, however, that the recommended decision is due in a case with the statutory deadline 60 days before the last reasonable public meeting prior to the expiration of the suspension date. As the Commission may alter the staff recommendations at a public meeting by motion, there must be sufficient time for staff to prepare and enter a revised Commission opinion and order. In this situation, the date of the suspension expiration is March 15, 2021, and that means the last reasonable public meeting at which the Commission may consider the staff recommendation is the public meeting of February 25, 2021. Accordingly, the deadline for the issuance and filing of the recommended decision of the presiding ALJ is Thursday, December 24, 2020. Therefore, I move that first, the petition for reconsideration of staff action filed by Pennsylvania American Water Company is granted in part and denied in part, consistent with this motion. Secondly, that the June 4, 2020 order of Chief Administrative Law Judge Charles Rainey is affirmed insofar as it grants an extension of the suspension date of this matter from January 28, 2021 to March 15, 2021. Third, the effective dates of the approved rates, whatever they may be, that result from this proceeding shall be January 23rd, 2021, unless another date is approved by the Commission. Fourth, the recommended decision in this matter shall be served and filed no later than Thursday, December 24, 2020. And finally, the Office of Special Assistance shall prepare an appropriate order consistent with this motion. Thank you very much.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second to the motion?
Second, Unora.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking a previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 4-0.
And Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Before we adjourn, we do have a couple additional matters we want to address. I want to recognize Commissioner John Coleman for his remarks today on 811 Day.
Well, thank you, Chairman. As we all know, it is time to recognize National 811 Day, and the PUC just wants to remind residents, contractors, and utilities the importance of dialing 811 before digging to ensure safety of excavation process across the state. Now, this date serves as a great reminder for the role that we all play in preventing damage to the essential underground utilities. Hits on underground utility line pose a danger to workers, residents, and also cause service interruptions, environmental pollution, and costly repairs to damaged lines, as well as significant inconvenience for all of us. So the greater the job we do in assuring that we're not hitting underground utilities is a win for all of us. I just wanted to make note of a couple of things here. Our Damage Prevention Committee is meeting next Tuesday, August 11th, and how fitting it is that August 11th is 811. So I congratulate them for coordinating that in recognition of 811 as well. A couple of things are noteworthy. The Damage Prevention Committee has really been doing a super job. These are volunteers that are committing their time to adjudicating the alleged violations of the law. And I just want to give them a shout out and tell them how much I appreciate all the hard work that they're doing, as well as our PUC investigators that are looking at each of these cases and making determinations of violations of the law. So far in 2020, there have been more than 500,000 one-call tickets have been placed. These are the tickets that get issued when you call 811, and they are notices then to the utilities alerting them that somebody may be digging within the area of their utility infrastructure. We're just a little bit shy of the volume that we saw for the entire part of last year, so it looks as though the good news here is that people are calling. They are recognizing the need to make sure that you call 811 before you dig. Most excavators and homeowners are beginning to understand the need to contact 811. And again, I think that's an indication that the public awareness and education is working. I just want to conclude to say again that whether you're a contractor working on a large-scale project or a homeowner, you know, putting in a new mailbox or planting a tree in the front yard or installing a deck, it's really, really important that you alert the utilities and make sure that those lines are marked before you dig. And in doing so, everyone wins. So thank you for the time this morning, and thank you to all of you for listening and as we recognize National 811 Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman, for those very timely remarks. One additional matter that we have on today's agenda before we adjourn, I wish to recognize the retirement of one of our longtime colleagues here at the PUC, Dave Laux, chief of the motor carrier division within our Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement, is retiring after 43 years of service with the commission. Dave grew up in the Wilkes-Barre area and is a graduate of King's College in Wilkes-Barre with a degree in criminal justice. He also did graduate work in public administration at Marywood University in Scranton. Dave began his career with the PUC as an enforcement officer in the Scranton District Office back in 1977. In 1990, he was promoted to the district supervisor covering the 14 counties in northeastern Pennsylvania. In 1996, he was promoted again to regional enforcement manager and was responsible for 14 enforcement officers that covered both the Harrisburg District and the Scranton District. He was promoted to chief of the motor carrier enforcement division in 2011 and oversaw 38 enforcement officers covering all 67 counties in the state. He is the past president of the National Conference of State Transportation Specialists and served on their executive committee for many years. He also was a member of the International Association of Transportation Regulators and represented the Commission on the Governor's Motor Carrier Advisory Committee. Dave also oversaw and was responsible for the collection and auditing of the Unified Carrier Registration, the Federal New Entrant Safety Audit Program, and the Commonwealth Law Enforcement Assistance Network. He resides in Clark Summit with his wife, Erin, who also recently retired as a first grade teacher in Scranton School District. They plan to spend more time with their three grandchildren and to travel and to do some volunteer work. So I, along with my commissioners, just want to take the opportunity to thank Dave for his dedication and his many years of service, and we want to wish him the best as he begins his retirement. At this time, if there are any other comments on Dave's retirement from any of the other commissioners, I will open up the floor for recognition.
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I would like to associate myself with your comments and congratulate David on a wonderful career here at the PUC and for all the good work and the legacy that he leaves behind. So thank you, David, for your hard work and congratulations and best wishes.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. This is usually the time also where we hand our usual clock today, but we did make sure in this age of social distancing that we were able to get that clock to him. We had a chance as commissioners just to talk to him and thank him for his hard work here at the commission. So with that, we want to thank everyone for joining us for the PUC's public meeting. Our motion statements and audio will be available on the commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Coleman.
Second, Sweet.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. I'm assuming there's no discussion. All those in favor in adjourning, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye as well. There are no opposed. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.